Thank you, Micah. Thank you, Heather. What a blessing it is to be here together with you this morning. Grace Baptist Church, we're a church committed to missions. A church committed to missions. I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We will be looking specifically at verses 18, 19, and 20. For those of you who are guests and visitors here today and might be unaware of what we're doing, or just as a reminder for our regular attenders and members, we are going through a series of what our church is committed to. We began with April 12th, we're a church committed to the Word, and then April 19th, a church committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. April 26th, a church committed to evangelism. The first Sunday in May, a church committed to one another. Church committed to discipleship, May 10th. Last Sunday, a church committed to prayer. And then this Sunday, we're a church committed to missions. These are things that we are actually committed to as a church. I wanted my goal, the pastor's goal, Pastor Patrick and Stephen and I, we wanted to remind our church around our 50th anniversary of what we stand for, what has historically been kind of the pillars of Grace Baptist Church, and reaffirm that we still stand on those things today, and as we move into the future, will continue to be commitments that we're upholding as a congregation. And today, I'm so privileged to talk with you about what it means to be a church committed to missions. At Grace Baptist Church, we want to be committed to missions. From our first history book, the first 25 years of Grace Baptist Church, which you can pick up a copy of that from the office, and now there's a part two, the second 25 years, the history of Grace Baptist Church. And again, you can pick up a copy of that from the office. Just see Esther, our church secretary. Esther, wave your hand. She's happy to print off for you those two volumes of history. It says, from the beginning, Grace Baptist Church has helped to support missionaries for global evangelism. As early as February 1977, so that would have been within the first year of our church's existence, the church had a missions emphasis month. We took one Sunday and or one month and dedicated all the Sundays in that month of February 1977 with a missions emphasis. And over that month, they took up a total offering for missions of $775.73. Our missions treasurer, beginning that month for the next 25 years, was Bob Maupin, Lena Maupin's husband. He's in heaven now. Lena's still a member, faithful member of our church. We've sent out several missionaries from our church over the years. We've emphasized and still continue to emphasize missions as a part of the ministry of Grace Baptist Church. Just this year, you've heard from Rasul Tungau, a missionary in Cambodia, Rich Moeller, a missionary to Scotland, Shatiz Gamir, a missionary in Nepal, and from our very own Ruben Rincon, who is not a missionary to the Dominican Republic, but is from the Dominican Republic and shared with us the missions burden there. In June, we'll be privileged to have Patrick and Anjanelle McClure, missionaries to Brazil. Richard Moeller and his wife, our missionaries to Scotland. He's the father of Rick Moeller, who was here earlier in March. And in November, Keith Gandy will be with us, longtime missionary to Germany. Hopefully you sense this continuing commitment to missions at Grace Baptist Church. May it always be ongoing. We support many missionaries around the globe. Let me just name a few of the countries that you and I monthly give financial support to missionaries in these countries. Cambodia, Ivory Coast, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Bolivia, Germany, England, Guatemala, multiple missionaries in Guatemala, Peru, the Philippines, Brazil, Scotland, Spain, Australia, Thailand, Ethiopia, Japan, Mexico, Kenya. And also we have two missionaries who are in countries that are creative access nations, meaning we're not supposed to name their location online. And we have one missionary family who is specifically called to displaced people groups, which means they go through different countries in Europe and in the Middle East where there are high concentrations of refugees or people who have been displaced from their home countries, and they will stay with those people and minister to them, evangelize, and plant small churches amongst them. We also have missionaries in South Africa and England. What a blessing it is to be a member of a church that has missionaries around the world. Say amen. Amen. I'm so thankful. Each month, our church has promised to give, and we do faithfully give, from our congregation $5,525 to these missionaries that I have just read off. I hope that you are a part of that missions giving and that you contribute to our church's missions program. Grace Baptist Church is a church committed to missions. We have been, we are, and we will continue to be. You're at the passage that I ask you to turn to, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Let me read that for you, and then we'll get into our sermon. Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God bless this sermon and this message. May our church be edified and strengthened because of it. Amen. Well, we're going to look at 3 points this morning. First, what is missions? If we're going to be a church committed to missions, we need to know what we're talking about. We need to have a collective definition so that we can move forward as a committed church. Point number one, what is missions? Point number two, missions originates from the local church. Missions originates from the local church. And point number three, missions moves towards the local church. What is missions? Missions originates from the local church, and it moves towards the local church. Those are my 3 points, and then we'll conclude as we have with a series of applications for all of the church. The word mission is used a lot in our Christian culture today, isn't it? We're supposed to be on mission. We're supposed to live missional lives. Everywhere we go, we hear the word mission. It's on many of our favorite radio station, Joy FM, to be on mission. Isn't that something that one of the hosts says all the time? We need to be on mission. Well, what does it mean to be on mission, and how does that interact with our understanding of missions? One author writes, "Since the 1950s, there has been a remarkable escalation in the use of the word mission among Christians. And with this significant increase of use," the author goes on to say, "there has been a broadening concept or a broadening meaning of the word mission." Mission is to be understood today to live in a way where your whole life points to God. Every act of obedience, how we steward the environment, can be said to be living on mission. How we live in our community and renew communities is to be living on mission. To bless our neighbors is to be living on mission. The word missional just means to be on point or on mission. Conscious of everything that we do serves kind of this movement of God. That we're others focused, we're loving, we're kind, we're thinking of others, Good Samaritan-like in our actions, treating those outside the church, the community of faith, with love and service. That is to be on a mission. It's a kind of an intentional, attractional way of living to point others to Christ. And I'm not here to disparage or to tear down that view of living. I do believe that God calls all of us to serve our community with good deeds. That's what Christ said is loving our neighbor, to be a faithful presence in our community, to be others focused. We are to be concerned about bigger struggles in our world, like human trafficking and abortion and other aspects of this sinful culture that as Christians we are to be concerned about and doing our part in bringing an end to sinful practices and promoting righteous living and godly living. Sure, societal problems should be a part of the Christian purview and perspective, and we can be on mission in those things. We don't want to be a church who's indifferent to those who are hurting around them, the poor, the needy, the oppressed. We don't want to have hardened hearts, to cloak ourselves in this building and kind of be siloed from the world. We do want to give of ourselves in this missional way. But when we speak of missions, that's not what we're speaking of. We don't want to conflate missions with living a missional life or being on mission. What is the mission of Grace Baptist Church? Have you wrestled with that? What are we supposed to be doing? Why do we meet together? Well, our own documents tell us what the mission of Grace Baptist Church is. It says, we exist to lead people to Jesus Christ and to equip them to be more faithful disciples. That is the mission of Grace Baptist Church. And I believe that's what the scriptures tell us is the mission of every local church. It is to raise up disciples, men and women who have repented of their sins and are trusting alone in Jesus Christ for their salvation. And then equipping them, growing them up to be disciples. That is the mission of the church. Grace Baptist Church exists to lead people to Jesus Christ and to equip them to be more faithful disciples. Now, for the sake of time, I'm just going to land that plane there in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. There are other ecclesiological views or church views on why the church exists, but we have already agreed that we exist to lead people to Jesus Christ and equip them to be more faithful disciples. Well, why would we take these three verses, Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, and kind of set them up as the mission of the church? Well, first of all, just to draw some helpful analogies for us, who is speaking here in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20? Who is it that's speaking? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, we want to model our understanding of the mission of the church with the mission of Jesus Christ. Jesus came, he was sent on behalf of the Father to seek and to save the lost. The Father sent Jesus Christ. He came not to be served, but to serve. And his service there was not merely a social good service, although that was incorporated into it, but his primary service, Mark tells us, is that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ's primary mission or service was to be the savior of the world. And so we as the church want to take our most important mission from Christ's most important mission. We want to point our world to Jesus Christ as the one who forgives sins. We want to imitate Jesus Christ. Also, these are Jesus's last words, his last recorded words of his time on earth. The strategic importance of their placement in his ministry. This kind of wording or expression, what we might call the Great Commission, is present in almost every gospel and also in the book of Acts. this idea that Christ's followers, his disciples, were to continue the same message that he had come to bring to this world. They were to go out and to continue on in that same message. What a strategically important place. His last words after his death and his resurrection, and just before he ascended, he commissioned his followers to make more disciples. And obviously, all of the Gospels speak to what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It means to follow him, to trust in him, to recognize his authority, submit to his teaching, bow before his kingship. This is all wrapped up in the idea of discipleship. And Jesus tells his followers, you are to go and make disciples in this world. This is the mission of the local church, and it is specifically the mission of Grace Baptist Church. Listen, we have good news to tell the world. There is a Savior. We have this authority given to us by Christ as the supreme authority to go out in his name and with courage and strength proclaim the only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ. We have been commissioned to tell everyone we encounter, you ought to be a disciple of this man, the Savior of the world. In Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, the main verb is to make disciples. That is the commission. In your going, you make disciples. As you make disciples, you baptize them. As you make disciples, you teach them. Going implies intentionality. It implies being sent. It means leaving one place and on purpose going to another. Baptizing implies repentance. It implies a public confession. It implies that they have been forgiven, that they've been washed, that they've died with Christ, and they've been raised with Christ. Teaching implies an ongoing relationship of walking along with them, showing them, this is what I learned from Christ. Let me pass this wisdom on to you. This is what I have learned in my lifetime of walking with the Savior, of reading his word, of hearing him speak to me through the gospel, through the word of God. In my prayer life, let me teach you and inform you. That's what it means to teach all that I have commanded you. This is the mission of Grace Baptist Church. I just want to reiterate one more time for you, my brothers and sisters. It is not that we do not care for the poor or the hurting. It is not that we do not do charitable acts or deeds. It is not that we ignore politics or larger societal problems. I am not saying today we wash our hands of engaging with our community. What I am saying is we have a higher priority, a higher calling that influences everything else that we do. And that is, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ because we know there is a fate worse than poverty. Because we know there is a fate worse than abuse. Because we know there is a fate worse than being maltreated or being subjected to improper governance or harsh government authority. All of those societal problems exist, but there is a fate worse than that, and that is an eternity in hell. And so we do not want to neglect the one and focus solely on the others. We can do both as Christians. We can address charity and cultural issues, but focus on sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of Grace Baptist Church. So we've talked about being on mission. We talked about the mission of Grace Baptist Church. Well, what is missions? If I'm saying we should be a church committed to missions, what exactly am I saying? Well, let me define this very specifically today. Missions involves a local church sending qualified workers across linguistic, geographic, or cultural barriers or boundaries to start and strengthen local churches. I'm going to read that again. Missions involves a local church sending qualified workers across linguistic, geographic, or cultural barriers to start and strengthen local churches. That's what missions is. When I speak of missions today, this is what I'm talking about. I just want to be clear. I'm not talking about our evangelistic practice. We've already talked about being a church committed to evangelism. When you were younger and in Sunday school, perhaps you used to sing, "Be a missionary every day, da da da. Tell the world that Jesus is the way." You sang that song, right? Adam, thank you. You want to come up and sing it with me? Okay. And sometimes we'll hear missionaries come through and they will say to us, "We are all missionaries." And I want you to know, as a pastor, I have two things going on in my heart when they say that. I lovingly believe the best, and also I hitch just a little bit. Because the definition for missionary is not us just going to talk to our neighbor and being evangelistic. That is part of being a Christian. We are supposed to do that. That's evangelism. Being a missionary is being a qualified worker who's appointed by a church. We're sending you to a people, a country, a language group, and we want you to plant a church and share the gospel with those people. When I say missionary, that's what I'm speaking to this morning. Do you understand what I'm trying to, be very specific. So missions is a local church sending a qualified worker, a missionary, across linguistic, geographic, or cultural barriers to start and strengthen local churches. This is what missions is. Let me give you just a brief example of how one man that we're supporting engages in community, being on point, on mission, loving acts, and helping start and strengthen local church. This is our missionary to Cambodia, Rasul Tungau. I was so thankful to meet him and to experience that weekend with him back in March. His most recent report that he emailed this week talks about his church, his local church, everyone say local church, in Cambodia, held a two-day eye clinic in which they gave out glasses, they gave free vision tests, that they helped with some small problems if people had different issues with their eyes. And while people were in line to get their eye exam and have their eyes checked, they had men and women from their church who would come around and witness and have gospel conversations with them. They served over 263 people in their community with this eye clinic vision exam. And they had multiple people saved through this. Now, he's acting out of his local church, serving the needs of his community. What a great example of someone who is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in their community. This is missions, and that's what a missionary does. What is missions? It involves a local church sending qualified workers, missionaries, across linguistic, geographic, or cultural boundaries or barriers to start and strengthen local churches. Point number two. Missions originates from the local church. Missions originates from the local church. In the New Testament, the book of Acts especially gives us kind of this paradigm, this example, this broad picture of how missionaries are sent out. The church at Antioch launched the first missionary endeavor in Acts chapter 13. The Holy Spirit meets with the church as they're gathering to worship the Lord, and he says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Paul and Barnabas left then the church at Antioch and went out and began to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they went out on their missionary journey, they were leading people to the Lord and leaving behind groups of believers in various places. And those groups of believers would grow up to be local churches. Then in Acts chapter 14, it says Paul and Barnabas returned back to their sending church to give an account for what had happened. Acts chapter 14. They came back to Antioch, and when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. This is why we invite missionaries back to our church after a couple years to give us a report of what God has done. It's a biblical example. It comes from what Paul and Barnabas did. They went out, preached the gospel, started churches, and then came back and gave an account to the church that supported them and sent them. The book of Acts is filled with these churches being planted as the gospel is going out. We need to be a church who is actively participating in this spread of the gospel. And how do we do this? Well, we do this primarily by raising up men and women from amongst us and preparing them to go and to be missionaries. Here's just a couple ways that we do this. We do this by forming them or discipling them in our church through good preaching, through discipleship, through hands-on, one-on-one training and mentoring. We do this by having a system of accountability within our church, making sure that we are truly confessing Christians, that we are walking in holiness and righteousness. We do this as a church by assessing men and women who might be potential ministry workers and missionaries and watching to see, do they live their Christian life with conviction, with understanding, with competence? Are they men and women who have biblical character? Are they going to be the kind of men and women we want to represent Christ on the mission field? We do this by training, by helping them theologically have a deeper foundation and a broader understanding of the Word of God. This is all local church business. Men and women who are called to the mission field are not called in isolation. They're called from families, from groups of believers just like us. Do you understand that William Carey, before he was the father of modern missions, was a cobbler? Does anybody know what a cobbler is? They make peach and strawberry. No, he worked on shoes. He was just a common man with a task, with a skill, with a job, just like us. And yet God called him from his job and sent him to be a missionary. That's where missionaries come from. They come from us. There's not a missionary tree that exists outside of a local church. The local church, missions originates in the local church. One way the local church participates in this, not only through forming, through training, through accountability, through assessing, but also by pointing people to the idea of missions. As we see men and women amongst us who seem to have that zeal, that drive, that charity for the lost, it's not wrong for us to say, hey, have you considered giving your life away for the sake of the missionary gospel? Have you considered leaving the comforts of home and intentionally going to a different location and sharing the gospel where there are less churches, less gospel presence, where Christ is less known than here? My friends, let me just talk maybe to the parents for just a second. Maybe some of us would have children that we say, hey, why don't you give your life away? There's a higher calling. There's a greater calling. There's people in need. Would you be willing to go? Some of our friends, we say, the world is in need. The lost are innumerable, but the light of Christ is powerful. Let's give our lives away to missions. We point people to the possibility that they could go. There's so many aspects of how the local church participates in this. We raise up men and women from amongst us. We prepare them, train them, assess them, hold them accountable. We support them and send them off from our church. We say, we're appointing you, like the Church of Antioch did for Paul and Barnabas, to go and be missionaries. We also partner with other churches in supporting men and women from their congregations. Of that list of 38 missionaries that I alluded to that we support here at Grace Baptist Church, only three of them, a single lady and a married couple, are from our church directly. The rest come from other local churches that we've partnered with them to say, we affirm what you have seen in these people and we support them as they go out and plant churches around the world. We, the local church, originate missions by sending our own people and partnering with other like-minded local churches in sending out their people. This is how missions ought to be done. It's not done primarily through an outside entity, right? It's not done through an organization. Missions comes, it originates from the local church. This is our job. This is the commission that God has given to us. And it's part of our broader mission. We are called to point people to Jesus Christ and equip them to be more faithful disciples. And we're to do that in Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We do it locally, one-on-one. We do it to the uttermost parts of the earth by sending people from amongst us to go to places where we cannot go. Missions originates in the local church, but also missions moves towards the local church. The end goal of missions is to establish local independent churches. We want to start and strengthen churches. We're not merely sending men and women out to feed, to dig wells, to do hospitals. All of those things are good and necessary and can be good tools. But our primary job, our primary goal is to establish churches that look like ours. Not like ours in the sense of we're Americans and they have to do things in our cultural way or in the way that we do them, but do things like us in that they hold tightly to the gospel and they preach and teach the word of God and they find all their hope in the word of God. That they call people to true repentance in faith in Jesus Christ and they baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That they practice the Lord's Supper as a means of illustrating what Christ has done until he returns. That they sing with joy in their heart to the Lord and they proclaim the goodness of God and the glories of salvation through congregational singing. That they raise up men from amongst their congregation to be elders and deacons and practice biblical leadership in the local church. That's what we want. There are many movements of missions today. Some of you may not be aware of this, but there are many movements of missions today where the primary goal of those who are being sent out is not to establish local churches, but merely to evangelize someone, to baptize them, and then say, now you are a teacher, you go teach, and I'm going to keep moving on. That might sound good. It might sound like we're flourishing and we're multiplying disciples in a quick way. But the danger of that is we're leaving people who have no spiritual foundation and no training, no depth. And we're leaving them on their own. And over time, history has shown us that these movements of missions, these modern movements of missions, which are rapidly multiplying disciples, and not leaving good local churches for them to grow up and be grounded in, leave behind little fruit. Growing a church is hard and slow, and it takes time. And it may not be as flashy or seemingly as successful as some of these other approaches, yet it is the biblical method. Paul repeatedly would go on his trips and visit churches he had already planted and strengthen those churches. He would write letters to them, encouraging them to remain faithful to the gospel that they had heard and received. He promised to visit them again and give them more teaching and more truth. This is the New Testament model that we have, and that's what we want. We want to send missionaries who are going to grow or establish local churches and strengthen local churches. The end goal of our missions endeavor of sending people out across linguistic, cultural, and national barriers is to start and strengthen local churches. Conrad Imbue says, we may need to establish hospitals and schools. We may need to supply food and clothing and shelter. There is nothing wrong with that as long as we do not begin to see these as an end in themselves. Our primary work in missions is evangelism and the planting of churches after the New Testament pattern. Churches that will continue this same work long after we're gone. This is the New Testament plan of missions, and this is what Grace Baptist Church is committed to, and I hope will remain committed to as we move forward. This is the vision of your pastors, and I know it's shared by many of you in our membership. Let's talk about how this applies for us. If we're going to be a church committed to this idea that missions is sending qualified missionaries out to plant churches across these barriers, and it originates from us at Grace, and it's moving towards planting a new local church, what ought we to be doing if we're committed to this? Application. Now, the past seven sermons that I've preached, I had application for the elders, us for as individuals, and us as a corporate body. Today, I'm just lumping us all in. Application for everybody. Good. I'm glad we're in agreement. Here we go. One, as a body of believers, as Grace Baptist Church, if we're going to be committed to missions, we have to know and value the gospel for ourselves. If we do not know and love the gospel for ourselves, we will not make it a priority to send the gospel to others who do not know. In a business world, they would call this mission drift. When the company loses the clear sense of the main thing that they are trying to do. The church is all about the gospel, and we as individuals ought to know and love the gospel. And if the gospel is meaningful to you, if it has made a difference in your life, then you will want it to make a difference in the life of other people. The missions explosion that happened at the end of the 1700s and the beginning of the 1800s with William Carey and moved into Adoniram Judson and Hudson Taylor and men of that time frame in the late 1700s and 1800s grew out of a revival in England where people were repenting and confessing of their own sins, and Christ is doing a work individually in their hearts. And as they tasted and saw that God was good and had the forgiveness of sins, then they were motivated to take that same gospel to people who had not known. If you do not love the Lord, if you do not know God is good, you will not sacrificially give so that other people will know that same Christ. If he hasn't made a difference in your world, you won't care if he's making a difference in the life of others. Listen, before we pick our eyes up and look way out there, let's first look to the cross and say, that's my Savior. Let's know him and love him. Grace Baptist Church, if we're going to be committed to missions, to that global idea of sending, then we need to know and love the gospel. Number two, let's read about missions. Let's read biographies of men and women who have served the Lord in this way. Adoniram Judson, William Carey, David Brainerd, Jim and Elizabeth Elliott, Amy Carmichael, Hudson Taylor, John and Betty Stamm. You can just Google these names and find multiple biographies about these missionaries who gave up their lives in service to the Lord. Let's read about missions. But more than biographies about global missionaries, let's read about our own missionaries. Did you know in the fellowship hall, that's the building right outside of this auditorium, we have an entire wall with all of our missionaries up there, and they send us letters every quarter, and we put those letters on the wall, and you can read the same article I read from Rasul Tungau. You can read that up on our wall, and you can rejoice with me. Wow, God is doing a work in Cambodia. You should be reading about the missionaries that we sponsor. You can get to know how missions works. If we're going to be a church committed to missions, then we need to be understanding in this realm and intentionally broadening our minds and being aware of what God is doing. Number three, we need to be men and women of prayer. This harkens back to our sermon last week. If Grace Baptist Church is going to be committed to missions, we need to be praying first that the word of God would spread throughout all of the world. We need to be praying that the word of God would be spread throughout all of the world. And not only being spread, but pray for other Christians in different countries. Did you know February 20th of 2025, this is just a year and 3 months ago, 70 decapitated bodies were discovered in a Protestant church in the Democratic Republic of Congo, killed because they loved the same Savior that you and I love, killed by militant Islamic terrorists. Did you know just at the end of last year, 2025, Open Doors US gave an interview with the Baptist Press, and they released their 2025 watch list. And in the year 2025, 3,000 Christians were killed in Nigeria. Of the nearly 4,500 Christians that we have accounted for who were martyred worldwide, specifically for their faith. Listen, if we're going to be men and women committed to missions, we need to be praying that the gospel would spread and that God would strengthen our brothers and sisters around the world. Let me encourage you also to pray, to consider the global news with a Christian focus. When you hear global news, you should immediately think, I wonder how the Christians in that country are doing. In 2021, when the Taliban was taking over Afghanistan and we were retreating, I know there was a lot of consternation in our country about how we handled that military retrieval and all of that. But did you know that at that time, there were many Christian Afghani pastors with small churches in Afghanistan who had to flee before the Taliban caught them and killed them? I would encourage you to listen to this podcast. If you just Google on pastoring in Afghanistan, if you just Google that and put the words pastor's talk, you can hear two of those pastors from Afghanistan who escaped with their lives, and they share how the Taliban, you know, tortured, martyred, took over those small churches in Afghanistan. When we hear news globally, hurricanes and earthquakes, as men and women who are committed to the spread of the gospel, our first thought should not be political. Our first thought should be, I wonder how the Christians are doing there. I hope God uses this for the spread of the gospel. Let's pray the news different. And then let's pray that God would make Grace Baptist Church increasingly more useful in global missions. Let's not look back and say, the best years of missions at Grace Baptist Church are behind us. Let's look back and say, what a great launching point for us to do more. Let's pray that God would enlarge our vision, that we would be more useful in global missions. Number four, let's give. Let's give to global missions through the local church. Let's give to global missions through the local church. I just got a few things to encourage you with. If you are a giver or a non-giver, let me just encourage you, pray about giving. Lord, help me to be a giver. Pray to give. If you do not pray, you may give just through obligation or guilt. But we want to bathe our giving in prayer and say, Lord, I'm giving this as an offering for you for the glory of Christ and the good of other people. Pray to give. Prepare to give. Look in your budget. Plan. Find money. Find places you can cut your expenses so that you can give. Make it intentional. Prepare. Don't just backdoor your way into it. Don't just start giving a dollar 20 years ago and 20 years later because you're not intentional. You're still giving that $1. Let's be intentional in our preparation to give. And then finally, actually give. Don't think about it. Don't talk about it. Don't only plan. Don't only pray. But at some point, put some obedience behind your sacrificial giving and actually give. And then the last one, I would just encourage you to give through the local church. There are many places out there that will happily take your nonprofit dollars. But I think there's a real beauty in giving through Grace Baptist Church. Let me just list three. One, for accountability's sake. Oftentimes when you give through national organizations, you don't always know where your money is going. But here, every February, and then partially in August, we kind of give an update, but every February, we give a full accounting of every missions dollar that comes into our church. You know where your money is going. Also, the purpose of the missions giving through Grace Baptist Church is to plant more churches. That's what we want to do. We're sending out these 38 missionaries to plant more churches. And number three, it helps our church keep the historic commitment that we've made to missionaries. Do you know some of the missionaries on our list we've been supporting for over 30 years? Some of you have just joined in the last year or two or three or five, and you've never even met these missionaries. But the people before us made a promise. As long as you're on the field, we'll support you. And now you've joined with us 30 years later. Give through Grace Baptist Church so that we can keep the promise we made to these faithful missionaries all those years ago. Give to global missions through Grace Baptist Church. Number five, let's care for our missionaries well. Those who have gone out from us, Karen, Phil, Jessica, let's love them in real, tangible ways. Let's call them. Let's video chat with them. Let's send them cards, gifts, thoughtful notes. When they come home, let's make it a point to reconnect with them. Let's care for our missionaries well. When we have missionaries who visit us, regardless of whether or not you know them or they come from our church, say, Pastor Curtis, let me take them out to eat. Let me have them over to my home and host them. In our last missions conference, several of you did that, and I know you were blessed by it. In the fellowship hall, you can get their email addresses. You can find their birthdays. You can take it upon yourself to be intentional about caring for people who've left home in the comforts of home to take the gospel to hard places. Number six, we want to continue investing in our internship program. Mark Dever has said that the way the global church grows is by churches giving more money than they spend and raising up more men than they need. And I think that's a great way to summarize it. We want to be generous in our giving to missions, and we want to raise up, we want to train up missionary workers, pastors, and send them away from Grace Baptist Church. And this one of my favorite things about Grace is the way you love our interns. The way that you generously come alongside them for just 3 short years. You pour into them, you love their kids, you take care of their wives, you take care of them, and you invest all you have, and then we watch them leave. I was like, we cry. And then we get some other new schmo, and we hardly even know him, and we have to learn to love him. I would love for that to continue on in time and to grow in the number of interns we can have. We've had multiple interns over the past several years who've really wrestled with this idea of missions. And I think maybe one or two of them might still end up on the mission field someday. Who knows what God might do? But I pray that God would bring us an intern who would go to the mission field. Number seven, we send and we go. If we're going to be faithful to the Great Commission, we have to send our own people that we know and love from here, and some of us are going to go. I think it's biblical. I think it's right. I think it's part of God's plan. If we're going to be a church committed to missions, it's going to cost. It's going to hurt. It's going to be a sacrifice. But lost men and women will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and hopefully, Lord willing, churches will be planted. I invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes and to consider with me this morning, Grace Baptist Church, a church committed to missions. What's your role? What's your part? How has God spoken to you today? Let's take a moment of silent prayer and reflection. Let's pray.